This episode was recorded for my UK Column show. Please support UK Column by going to support.ukcolumn.org.
This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
How long has it been? 2 years?
Less. I think a year and something. You were still working for TNT.
Yeah, but that ended in, I think, 2024, early 2024.
So it's been almost 2 years.
Yeah. What's been happening?
Oh, you became a dad.
I became a dad, yes. I became a dad. And you?
I think that's, no, not yet, but soon.
No, but what else has been happening?
Oh, well, I know, not a lot. I mean, like, what's been happening? On my personal scale, I know, I've been renovating my house. I'm building a chicken coop, you know. So doing permaculture, literally. Improving the infrastructure where I live, because there is no infrastructure.
Dude, so you live in one of the most beautiful places that I've seen. I mean, you are like, you're on the edge of the jungle.
Literally in the jungle, on the top of a mountain with views of like 50 kilometers. So it's really beautiful, but there is no infrastructure, as I said. So we struggled with our off-grid system. I mean, it worked, but we didn't have sufficient batteries, sufficient solar power, hydropower. So now I improved the system. And so I built a chicken coop now. And within the chicken coop, actually, I built another unit just for my batteries, for my inverters. So now I have approximately 60 kilowatt hours of batteries, which is more than enough to, you know, to make it. So I will never have any power outages. And it's been on my list, because you're like digging in cables. You can't imagine the amount of work of digging in cables of like 50 or 100 meters at a specific depth, and installing solar panels and the whole electricity system. It was like a huge, lots of work. Like, literally, I was working on this for a year now. And that kept me busy.
Are you still driving that very unfortunate VW?
Yeah, I'm still driving it. But it keeps on breaking somehow, because like it's like 50 years old. And but it gets up the mountain. So yesterday I was driving it, and you know, the pedal that you need to accelerate broke. So I was like, no fucking way.
How?
Yeah, it broke. I don't know, it just broke. It's still working, but you know, if you have to dig deep, you know, with your foot. But yeah, that's the next thing I have to repair.
Dude, I'm poking fun at you, but I'm sitting without a car. My car's at the mechanic.
Yeah, here we go. Why don't you repair it yourself?
No, because it's a Mercedes. It's ridiculous. I have got no idea what's going on under the hood. I will say this. I'm never going to buy a Merc again. Ever, ever, ever. Game over.
What happened to your Ford Ranger?
I've never had a Ford Ranger. I had a Ford, but it wasn't a Ranger. That was years ago.
You told me to buy a Ford Ranger. It's like, it's the best car ever. You need to buy a Ford Ranger.
Raptor. Ford Raptor.
Oh, Raptor. But isn't it Raptor a Ranger? Isn't Ford Ranger Raptor? It's a Ford Ranger Raptor.
Ford Ranger Raptor. That's a very clumsy title. But okay, if it's called that, then that's what it is. But a Ford Raptor is an absolutely beautiful vehicle.
Yeah, it's a
Ford
Ranger Raptor. So the
Ford Ranger Raptor. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I still recommend it. I didn't have a Ranger. I made a big mistake by going down the Merc road. I'll never do it again. It was a complete and utter disaster. So I don't recommend Mercedes to anybody ever. I'm going to sell the vehicle, and maybe I'll go Ford again. I don't know. Chinese. I'm very, very interested in Chinese vehicles now.
True. Now, here in Brazil, many people have Chinese vehicles. BYD. They now have a truck, electric truck.
Very interesting. It's one of the fastest in the world.
Yep. But cost a fortune still.
Yeah. And GWM is very good too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also very interesting. So I'm like driving my Ford Maverick, which is literally like a baby Ranger. I think it's like 10 centimeters lower. I think that's the main difference. But it has more horsepower, so it's very strong. It gets up the mountain, you know. And I'm having my Volkswagen Beetle that I'm using here in the jungle to do groceries because it's just fun to drive.
A Beetle is a great, great car. What year is it?
72.
Oh, that is one of the best years.
Yeah.
It's got the big lights at the back.
Yes. Oh, exactly these.
And, I'm so jealous.
I pimped it. It was a 1,300. I put other cylinders, so now it's 1,600. So it's super strong. It gets everywhere. Even if it's raining, muddy, it gets everywhere. So I put on military car tires, if you know them. it gets through the mud. So it's a great car. So it's not electric.
It's an incredible car. You know,
everything mechanic, and it gets everywhere. So I love driving it. It's literally like using a roller coaster, sitting on a roller coaster, because you feel every stone that's underneath you. It's wild, but I enjoy it.
What I love about it also is that it's still ice. You know, internal combustion that really annoys the greenies.
Yeah, yeah. They hate it. Lots of noise. The first gear is like, you know the sound, right?
Yes.
it's great. I mean, like, if the shit hits the fan and at some point, like, old electric cars don't work anymore, or, you know, I can get around. And it's quite cheap, to be fair. So it's 1 liter of gasoline for 12 kilometers. In the jungle, right? Not on the normal road. In the jungle. So if I go up and downhill. So it doesn't use a lot. The Maverick uses like double. And of course, it's bigger.
Simon, this is the first time that you are joining me on my UK Columns show. So for those who don't really know your background, let's quickly go back to 2019. What were you doing?
In 2019, I was just like working, like everybody who's now speaking out or being a voice of reason has been working. So in 2019,
My question is not what have you been doing since 2019? What were you doing in 2019?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
you were a scientist. Yeah, you were a scientist.
I'm just thinking. I think it had been postdoc. I was starting my postdoc in 2019 as a scientist, right? So I was working on system dynamics, understanding complex systems to eventually grow food on Mars. So I was working on that, on system dynamics, models, on causal loop relationships, regarding the metabolism, regarding agriculture, advanced agriculture systems. So also I was working on bioreactors, on gut microbiome. So I cover many fields because it's like multidisciplinary, right? If you want to grow food somewhere else on another planet, you need to understand many, many disciplines. So, so I was just a scientist doing my job, like the 9 till 5 job, 9 till 4 as a scientist, you know, was working in the office for 2-3 days per week. Was working at home the rest. It's like what they do in the Netherlands already for many years. And it was just like, you know, living my life like everybody was in 2019. Like everybody was asleep, half asleep. I was half asleep, to be fair. It was just like living my life. I was red-pilled on many topics, but I was like, okay, that's you know, part of the story. But I was like, I was just living my life.
And then 2020 happened.
I was still living my life in 2020, to be fair. So I got a Twitter account on February 2020 because they were saying, oh, there's this Chinese virus. And I was like, what? I was like skeptic, right? So I wanted to get the news. And I literally woke up on the 20th of March 2020 when they announced the global pandemic. And they said, like, everybody should stay inside because at that time, I was actively working on publishing vitamin D papers. So I was like, okay, you know, staying inside and viral infection, you know, or being infected with a pathogen and not being exposed to sunlight, this doesn't make any sense. So I was like, the first thing I was doing literally in April, I was like writing another vitamin D paper on the importance of taking vitamin K2 in conjunction with vitamin D, just like to tell people, like, this is important. Now, I was telling people, okay, you don't have to worry about a lot. If your vitamin D levels are up, don't be afraid of the sniffles. And unfortunately, people who shouldn't have read the paper. And that's when it started, like the nasty attacks that I never expected, right? So I never expected any attacks from other scientists based on a triple peer-reviewed paper. So, but that happened eventually.
I remember speaking to you. I can't remember even how we got in contact with each other, but I remember speaking to you, oh, what was it, 2022? No, earlier. I don't know, somewhere around there. You started going through quite a rough time with the company you were working for. I remember you were traveling to Europe and back to Brazil, and was it Norway? I can't even remember.
It was Norway. Yeah, it was the research institute, yes.
Mm.
And so I lost my job in the Netherlands, and then I got a new job in Norway, and they also kicked me out. It was beginning of 2022 when I got my ex account back.
That's right. And then you said something online that they didn't like.
Well, they didn't tell me what they didn't like. I mean, like, they gave a hint. So I asked COVID people whether they're corrupt. I asked them, right, on X. I was like, hey, are you corrupt? So I took their tweets and I showed the tweets to the general public. I was like, look at this tweet. This is like, this doesn't make sense. Are you corrupt? So based on that, they obviously fired me, which is wild. And the lawsuits until now. And I won the main lawsuit. So I won this part. Or like, the main part is like 90% of the lawsuit. There was another one that they stole my document, which they did. But how do I prove that they stole an electronic document? So, but the main part I won. And they still made me pay all the costs for giving a shitstorm to the company. They say like, oh, you have so many followers. This was like, you know, unproportional. And you pay all the costs. So they made me pay all the lawyer costs. The other part was $100,000 or something. And I mean, like, imagine you win a case and they say like, okay, we're going to punish you anyways. Like, doesn't make any sense. Now it's at the Supreme Court, but you know, it's a research institute which is like publicly funded. So I literally sued the government, and the government, hey, who pays the judges, right? So it's like a difficult case, and also my lawyer didn't help a lot. She missed two deadlines, and it's like, oh, well, I missed the deadline. So like, what? Because like the whole, you know, my wife's a lawyer, so she, so she helped with the lawsuit, and she was always sending her all the updated stuff. And like, hey, don't forget the deadline. Forget the deadline. And she got lost. She forgot the deadline twice. So we think like, this is like weird. This is super weird. Why would a lawyer, you know, miss the deadline again? Like in such an important case, because I would have won that one for sure. and anyways, yeah, it's a very, very weird situation. We are still trying to make sense of it. Oh, you can win a lawsuit and still, they make you pay such a high amount of money. I mean, like, they got the best. I mean, like, they could just have paid me. They could just said like, oh, sorry, yeah, we dismissed you, and like, you're take 3 months of salary, etc. But no, they didn't. Instead of paying me like $10,000 or something, they preferred paying more than $100,000 to lawyers in a case they wouldn't have any chance. So it's super weird. It's like, and also Elon Musk promised to support me. So you know, because I was he made this tweet, so everybody got fired because of being on X. We're gonna support your lawsuit. So we were in contact with X, right? A lot. So with a lawyer from X who had pronouns on her profile, so in her email footer, so like weird. She, her, like, and they said like, yeah, we're gonna support you totally. Your case is totally in. And since then, they ghosted me, like totally ghosted. There is no reply nowhere. So it's, yeah, it's super weird. It's super weird. And we are still trying to make sense of it. And there, I think it's impossible to make sense of it. But it's a weird situation, right? But I mean, what can we do? Eventually, if the Supreme Court is going to say like, hey, we're not going to accept your, you know, you missed a deadline or you missed two deadlines. It's not, you know, I need to sue my own lawyer, and that sucks. it's like, what can I do, right? $100,000 is a lot. I don't even earn this in a couple of years. So, for something I won, you know, in America, I would be a multimillionaire for what happened to me, multimillionaire. But in socialist Norway, it's a bit more difficult, obviously.
Can you remember some of the stuff that you were saying?
Beginning of 2022.
Mm. Like, well, like for example, if you were to try and figure out what it was that got you fired, what kind of content were you tweeting?
So beginning of 2022, I was self-censoring myself a lot. Literally, I had no tweet that was like what I'm saying nowadays. It was very self-censored. So the harshest stuff I was asking, David Fisman, if you know David Fisman, he's like some idiot from Canada who was saying like, we need vaccine passports, we need forced vaccination. And I was taking his tweets and I was asking like, look, looking back at everything you said in 2021, are you corrupt? So this is the harshest thing I said. And they even accused me of accusing others of corruption. But a question isn't accusation. So I think it's that. And my former boss, he was calling me privately. And he was like, he's totally on my side, but they get complaints. Incoming complaints, literally. HR gets incoming complaints every day, hundreds. So there must have been some campaign against me. So, you know, when I got my ex account back, it was beginning of 2022, many people were still like, oh, this deadly pandemic, and now Elon Musk is letting... It was 2023. I'm sorry, it was beginning of 2023, not 2022. Anyway, they were saying like, okay, he's letting all these people back, you know? How is this possible? And my colleagues or other scientists and doctors and activists who got back as well, they also faced a similar smear campaign. And so I told him like, look, I have a significant account on X. I think it was like 100,000 beginning of January. And people don't like what I say, but it's like my private opinion. And they're like, no, we support you 100%. We support you 100%. And then it's at some point, he asked for my private calculations, which I made for my company in the course of 10 years. Oh, can you send me this Excel file? I want to understand what you're doing. You're doing great stuff. And then I was like, oh, of course, because he was always supporting me privately. He was like, oh, they can do whatever they want. We keep you. And I sent him a file and the next morning he fired me. So he was stealing my file. But I mean, like to prove that he stole an electronic file is very difficult. So I did manage to do this. I mean, like I sent them everything with the Dropbox changes that this document exists before. But I mean, like the court didn't understand it or they didn't want to understand it. But anyway, that's what they did. And then I made a tweet about this, right? It was like, because they sent me an email. They said like they fired me for exceeding my right of free speech. So how can you exceed your right of free speech? I mean, like it's very, very difficult to exceed your right of freedom of expression, right? But that's what they wrote. That's their first letter. And then they kind of fired this lawyer, I think, who wrote this letter because it was like so ridiculous because we were able to use this against them, right? Because they later said like, no, he missed a meeting. He missed a meeting? So this was like their thing afterwards. Like, is there anything in a written form that he missed a meeting? No. We didn't inform him. I was like, which meeting? They couldn't even tell me. So they tried to make up stuff. It was like, it was so surreal. This whole court procedure was super surreal. They tried to, first they put the lawyers on there and they said like, oh, he cannot sue us. He's living in Brazil now. And it went up to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court said, of course they can sue you from Brazil. So they tried everything. And then they said like, oh, we don't even know where he lives. So how can we, if we win, how can we execute it? And then I had to show the court that actually my boss visited me here in the jungle, so he knows where I live. And it's like they continued doing this for 2 years until like my lawyer missed the deadlines. And like, this is so weird. Why? How can he miss a deadline like this, especially if you're working on this every single day and reminding her of the deadline? So it's like, I don't want to say sabotage, but it's like I have my gut feeling says so. But I don't know. I don't have proof because actually I think my lawyer is a great person, right? We get along very well, but this is weird. Or is it personal? I have no clue, but this is super weird. Anyway, it's it just sees where we're at, right? And it doesn't matter if the topic is COVID, if the topic is Israel. You always have these powerful people on top who are going to silence everybody who's telling their opinion. So,
but that is exactly true what you're saying. You know, there's always somebody higher up and more powerful. It's just a pity, though, that you, a scientist, which by its very nature makes you a critical thinker, or at least it should. And here, you're being told not to think critically and to accept the conventional or the established thought.
But that's quite usual in the field of science. So in the course of being a master's student, PhD student, postdoc, twice postdoc to be fair, it's like they always try to control you. They always tell you what to say and what not to say. So especially during my PhD and postdoc, it was climate change. And I was critical towards climate change for, I don't know how many years, 10 years, 20 years, for always, since I understood that CO2 doesn't drive any of that. But I wasn't outspoken, right? Because, I mean, like, I probably had some social media. I had my Instagram with like 10 followers. I don't know. So I wasn't a social media person and I wasn't too much into public. So I hold public speeches on my topic. And I was like the top scientist in my field, right? The top scientist. But still, I mean, like when all my colleagues said, oh, you cannot criticize climate change, I wouldn't go there, you know, and be a rebel and talk to the 10 people I know and say, like, oh, climate change is not real, because I didn't have any audience. So there was no point to be rebellious. Of course, when I wrote scientific papers, I put it in a different way. So I formulated it and said, like, oh, these climate change models, you have to take it with a grain of salt, you know. And I tried to put it in a way that my colleagues would accept it and that you can actually read between the lines and say, like, okay, he doesn't really probably, there's a likelihood that he doesn't believe that stuff. So this is what I did. But whenever I question things, for example, I had my PhD promoter. He was in the Club of Rome, and you know the Club of Rome. You know this sect. They're crazy. And we had this modeling class, and he was only modeling global warming or climate change based on CO2. And I was asking questions, and he was telling me this sentence. You shouldn't ask questions. The science is settled. And I heard the sentence again during COVID, and I was like, "This sentence was in my head." So it's like the Club of Rome was orchestrating the sentence. I don't know. He told me the science is settled, and he got super mad at me, super mad for asking questions. And I was like, "Plants like CO2," and he's like getting super mad. And I was like, "Wow, this is wild." And then later, I mean, that was at the University of Iceland, then later at the University of Wageningen in the Netherlands. I also wrote a paper on here we go. It was like modeling Namibia, right? Like some high-tech system in Namibia. And also I had to use climate data. I used IPCC data. And at the university where I did my postdoc, there was this professor, and he was one of the IPCC panelists, one of the leading scientists in IPCC. And he always told me, you cannot question climate change. It's a fact, blah, 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 blah. So it's, you know, I was a bit intimidated. It was okay, cool. I'm not a scientist in climate change directly. So, I mean, like they can say whatever they want to, you know, I just ignore this topic. But, you know, whenever I opened my mouth, it got like, people got mad and you get into trouble. So there, being a free thinker is not really encouraged. So as a scientist, you need to be submissive. Otherwise, you don't make career. You don't make it to the top. And the next issue is literally if you're a professor, you know, if you're a professor at university, you know this guy has been submissive. He has not been a critical thinker. So literally, everybody who makes it to the top and who's teaching your children is one of these submissive people. So this is how the whole scientific system is set up. So you don't learn how to think critically anymore.
I kind of came to the conclusion during COVID that the people who you should put more trust in are not the scientists, are not the ones who have skill sets within particular fields. It's the ones who are outside of those fields.
Yeah, it's like a cult, the cultists. So they're manipulated. Let's not say manipulated. There was a huge influence probably of other scientists on them, you know, during their studies. So they learned or they were told what is the truth. Just like in the Middle Ages, people were like, okay, the earth is flat, you know, and the there's this guy above and then a hell below, and everybody believed it.
The Earth is round.
Exactly, and they would execute you for that. So I think it's the same for virology, and I think there are pathogens. I mean, like, but the question is, you know, I told you my dog died of pneumosis, and he got the vaccine, by the way, because it's you know, when we got it, it got the vaccine. It's like,
I remember you messaged me a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and he died within 5 days. He was super healthy, and then at some point he just died within days. And this is like, it's a virus. And my wife now is like, oh, we need to vaccinate everything. I was like, he got the vaccine. Oh, he didn't get the second dose. I'm like, come on, please. No. And yeah, but the question is still, what's causing this, right? So of course she tested our other two dogs, and one also got pneumosis, at least antibodies, and didn't get sick though. And the other one didn't have anything. She's like, look, he transmitted this. And I'm like, okay, I don't believe in all this. But I mean, there's something that's causing the disease, and the root cause, I think that's the important thing to discover, right? I don't know what the root cause is. Maybe there are viruses, maybe they're not. Maybe there are other pathogens that cause this phenomenon. But it's not very clear. Even virologists cannot make a whole of it. They cannot explain to you why, for example, the transmission of viruses works in some cases, and in most of the cases it doesn't. So there are studies like to transmit a flu, and it's just like, you know, insignificant. So how does all of this work? And they cannot tell us, they cannot give us a clear answer. So to me, there are many questions. It doesn't mean that they say like, oh, viruses don't exist, but I'm very cautious here. I mean, we know that bacteria exists, and they're all very well studied, and there is very strong empirical evidence. But on viruses, is it maybe like a waste product, or is it the cause, or is it the effect? And there are many questions that even virologists cannot answer. So I'm very cautious here. But still, the fact that people, or like, you know, people with dogs die with the pneumosis, there is something, you know, and I would like to understand what it is. If it's a virus, okay, fair enough. But why can't we do anything against it?
It's the same with parvo.
Yeah, it's the same
with parvo. I mean, nobody really knows what causes it, but it always happens to puppies, and it tends to be within unvaccinated puppies. Now, I'm not in any way suggesting anything positive about vaccines, and I'm not suggesting that it's caused by viruses, but it does seem to appear that way.
No, I try to find them. I tried to find them to understand, and there was literally no data available. There was no data available. And so, of course, what can I say? I mean, like, the next dog we get, whenever, you know, maybe we're going to get another Dalmatian. My wife's going to let him double, triple, quadruple vaccinate. I don't care. Let's say it's a dog, right? I mean, I love dogs, but it's not like my child, you know? So
I don't care
that much.
Yeah, so I've asked this parvo question to a number of no-virus folks like the Baileys and Tom Cowan and many others, and not one of them is able to answer. I've looked online. It's impossible to find any data.
Yeah, we found in our dog, of course, we did all the all the tests, and he had a dysbiosis. He had really awful bacteria in his gut. So this could have been the reason, or maybe the root cause, you know, maybe it's root cause that caused, like, you know, a cascade of other issues. And he didn't only have pneumosis, he had like two or three diseases, and he was like 1 year old, super healthy. But I mean, like, there must have been a root cause. And I think the same accounts for us. So people can, of course, focus, like, during COVID, it's like, oh, he died of COVID. But if you check the actual cause of death, it was hardly ever COVID, right? Maybe 1% and had the sniffles, and so most people die because of other root causes. And I think, you know, medicine has to go that way to see, like, hey, what is causing this? You know, what are you eating? Are you exposed to mold? How much do you sleep? What are your cortisol levels? You know, what do your hormones look like? So there are so many factors that actually determine whether you're healthy or not. And then these people say, like, oh, let's look at some alleged virus, you know, that we didn't isolate yet. It's from China, you know, and there are so many variants, but like this is causing everything. And meanwhile, you know, I don't know how many millions or tens of millions of people have been driven into alcoholism because of their pandemic, and that killed way more than this alleged virus, and they never talk about that. In the Netherlands, they said, like, oh, you should order food. You shouldn't go to the supermarket. You should order food. And, you know, and ordering food is literally pizza, burgers, etc. Like, I'm high in omega-6 fatty acids that are inflammatory, so that actually make you sick, that actually are a root cause of many Western diseases. And that's what they told us. Like, don't go to the gym. Don't work out. You know, don't go to the sun. Like, eat junk food, right? And, you know,
and get
a shot in your arm. Yes. In order to prevent a disease.
I've just remembered how we got in contact. You were some random dude on the internet calling out a Drosten for his PCR protocol. Remember that? That's how we got in contact.
Yeah, I was this random dude with 10 followers. Yes.
Yeah, but you were the only person in the world who had this particular information, or at least nobody else was publicizing it.
Not on the paper itself. So there has been a whole consortium of like 10 scientists who were looking into the paper, and, you know, people who are geneticists, etc. But I'm not. You know, I looked into the peer review process because I'm one of the few people who was an editor of a Springer Nature journal and who knew the whole peer review process of a scientific paper. And I was showing the whole process because I had access to the back end. So I was taking screenshots. This is how it works. How many editors in the world could speak out against this stuff? They're just like a handful. Like, they're not many, right? Maybe, I don't know how many editors exist on this platform, but maybe 200, 300, I don't know. So it's a very low number. So I spoke out and I was analyzing it first. The analysis took like a week of deep research, and then I was taking, of course, screenshots from the back end, explaining how peer review process works, and then I was able to show that he committed fraud. And you know, my thread or my post wasn't attacking. It was like very rational, because I was like, okay, I'm a scientist, I need to be factual, right? And I wasn't even accusing people of corruption, etc. I was just like putting the information out there. And yeah, I think this is how we met. This is how I met most of the people, to be fair.
So just quickly give me the summary of what happened with Drosten.
I can tell you what he did in general and the little part he was exposing. So he knew about COVID way before the first case in China appeared, which is weird. We have the evidence. So he was working on the PCR test, like in creating the PCR test for COVID, most likely since beginning of December 2019. Which is weird, because the first Chinese case was when? Around the 20th of December. We know this because there is a lab in Slovenia who published about the PCR test in the very beginning of January, I think the 1st or 2nd or 3rd of January. And they said that they received the tests before Christmas, and they have been extensively testing it. And I was like, how can you extensively test something if you receive a test before the first case appeared? So this was like super odd. It didn't make any sense. And Drosten was on it, right? And then Drosten said in the beginning of January, even like the masks don't work. You cannot, PCR tests don't work. You cannot test people. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't show if someone is infected or not. And suddenly in March, he said the opposite for everything he said before. And in February, he published this PCR protocol paper.
But hang on. Didn't he submit it to the WHO and they published it within like 24 hours?
No, he submitted it to his own journal. Right. There is a journal, it's called Eurosurveillance, and Christian Drosten is on its editorial board. So he submitted this paper to his literally own journal and published it within 24 hours, less than 24 hours.
Ah, okay, right, there we go.
So, and we asked for the peer review reports, right? So every peer reviewer has to make a report. It's anonymous. And they said, like, we can't do it because it would violate, you know, the them being anonymous. So it didn't make any sense. They didn't want to show any report, and they were hiding everything. And they were, and the co-author Marion Koopmans, the state virologist from the Netherlands, who Drosten is the was the state virologist from Germany, and Marion Koopmans from the Netherlands, right? She was on the WHO committee that made this PCR protocol gold standard the one day after this publication got published. So they rushed the publication. There was no peer process. There was none. It's impossible. They just like published it and like to make it gold standard the next day. And Christian Drosten's friend, Olfert Land, he probably made millions, tens of millions with this test because he was the one producing it. And it's his personal friend. Super odd. I want to know how much money he received, etc. But I mean, like, there's still, like, German Congress. I mean, there's no, it's not Congress, but you know, there are still these. In German, it's called Untersuchungsausschuss. So they're asking people about the pandemic. For example, they invite him and people from the parliament. They can, you know, they can ask him like questions about COVID and his role, and he's still defending stuff, and he's still bending reality. So he's lying the whole time. He's, for example, he said like, oh, we should close all the schools, and then he's sitting there. It's like, I never said that. But there are like many audios, videos, everything is available, and he's sitting there. No, I never said that. And he gets away with it, and he does it on every single topic, and he still attacks us for speaking out against all what happened, and nothing is happening to him. He should be like in any working democracy, he would be in jail forever, literally forever, like, you know, lifelong. But no, he's walking free. He is still getting invited to stuff. He is still doing his job. And he is the person who made COVID available, or like possible, because without the PCR test, right, there would never have been a pandemic. And it wasn't only the PCR test he was causing. He was also the first doctor, and he's a doctor, right? Like I'm not a medical doctor. He's not a medical doctor, but he had a patient from China, the first patient ever. She was flying to Munich, who was healthy and had the virus. So he was showing, okay, look, there's this, you can be infected without being sick. So he was putting this out there as well. So imagine the same person, what are the odds that he was creating the PCR test before the pandemic happened, and then that he said like, okay, you know, you can, transmission of a virus is possible without being, you know, without having any symptoms. So that's how he justified the tests, right? So the whole world got tested because he said like, okay, you can be infected and not knowing this, and you have to use our PCR test. So that's why the world got mass tested, and we know it ran on a cycle threshold of 45 or something. False positives of more than 90%. So it was a fake pandemic, and he gets away with this. And that's scary.
Even Carrie Mullis, who invented PCR, warned against.
He was warning everybody about this, yeah.
Yeah, he warned against
Drosten was against it until January 2020. He was against it. He's like, you cannot do this. He said, like, it doesn't make any sense. But then, like, you know, it just shows the corruption. But, I mean, like, is it a crime? That part, I mean, like, that he says, like, oh, I believed this until January, but afterwards, not anymore. It's unfortunately not a crime. I mean, like, it should be a crime, because he was gaslighting the general public into testing, into vaccination. And, like, I think he's the root cause. I have to say, I think, otherwise you can sue me. I think he's the root cause for tens of millions of dead people. This man, a German again. Oh, wait, sorry, German again. The other one was Austrian. But anyways, you know, it's again from there. It's scary. You know,
there are so many reasons why there was no pandemic. PCR is one of them. Another is that there's just no evidence of this novel disease.
Asymptomatic transmission, what I said before. Asymptomatic transmission is another one. So combine all of them and you have a fake pandemic. And then you run a media campaign. So you have to imagine, you know, they said like, oh, the virus is out here. Okay. Everybody was like, okay, all right. And we didn't see any excess mortality. We saw excess mortality in April, May 2020, after they ran this media campaign, after they, you know, the fear campaign, you know, what's fear causing in old people? The cortisol level gets up. It becomes chronic and old people die. So that's why we saw the spike in April and May 2020. But afterwards it went down. Of course, there's also seasonality, etc. But people were locked inside, so the seasonality didn't have a lot of impact here. But still, we just saw this one spike of excess mortality, and the second spike came after the vaccination campaign, so after they injected everybody. But between the initial spike that killed people because of the fear campaign and the vaccination campaign, there was no excess mortality. If there were the deadly pandemic, you would see a constant excess mortality of like 10, 20, 30%, but we saw a negative one worldwide. So there wasn't a deadly pandemic, right? And just looking at the data shows this. But still, this man, everybody's talking about Fauci, but Christian Drosten is the real villain here.
I do remember there was an attempt by about, 20 or so scientists who published they attempted to publish that counter review paper. Remember that?
The retraction surveillance. Paper.
Yeah, the retraction. Yeah. It was rejected.
And almost all of them lost their careers. it's crazy. It's that crazy. And you know, every point they were mentioning in their paper was correct. They couldn't counteract. They couldn't say like it's wrong. So they did. Yeah, the character assassination. That's the same they do now with Israel. So it's the same playbook. You know, if someone says something they don't like, they just destroy your life. And this happened during COVID.
Yeah. So you just mentioned Israel. So you've been speaking a bit about Zionism lately. And at the beginning of our conversation, you said that you've had quite a few red pulls over the last few years. What are some of those red pulls?
I don't know if I can say any of this. Or do I get to jail? Do I get to jail in Europe? I don't know. But I don't believe anything anymore. Let's put it like this. You know, I have to tell, I've been extremely pro-Jewish and extremely pro-Israel throughout my whole life, right? I mean, my dad was red-pilling me a bit. He was showing me documentaries of how Israeli settlers were like, you know, destroying whales of Palestine. So I was like, okay, well, these are just the settlers. The rest is okay. This was my view until during my PhD. We had a research consortium, and one of them was like the University of the Negev, like a Hebrew Israel university, and the researchers of that university, they were very religious, so they were always wearing the little hat. And they wouldn't eat with us because we wouldn't be kosher, and like weird stuff. And then at some point they were like justifying killing locals and justifying the settlements. And that's when I was like, what the fuck? So we were all freaking out. And they were like just saying publicly, yeah, these are animals, they need to be killed and stuff like this. And we were like, whoa. And this when I was like kind of waking up. So maybe, you know, maybe my view on Zionism wasn't that correct, and on Judaism as well. So I'm not a friend of Judaism, but I mean, like, they're good Jews out there, right? That they don't believe every word in the Talmud, and I consider the Talmud a disgusting book. But anyways, there's still good people out there, and I don't want to generalize people, but there's Hamas attack, and Hamas attacked Israel. But the whole story is Israel attacked them first, Nakba 1948, and also Israel financed Hamas just to divide the Palestinians. And the third fact is literally Israel knew about the attack before, because Egypt warned them, but Israel let them attack so they could eventually commit genocide.
And there was also an IDF stand down for a few hours, coincidentally.
Yeah, just like coincidentally. Yeah, it's just like during September 11th, there was this stand down. You know, it's always coincidentally. And I don't like Islamic extremism. I don't like Islamism. I think it's disgusting, and it's it shouldn't have any place in the Western world. And I'm against. I'm in favor of sending all extremists back home from Europe. Send them back to their own original countries. But Zionism is a totally different level of evil, in my opinion. And you know, what I had expected is that, you know, Jewish voices, like 50% of the Jewish voice would say, like, hey, or like many Jewish people would say, like, okay, this attack from us is disgusting, but look, like, this is what we're doing to them, you know? And, you know, killing 30, 40,000 children is wrong. Calling, like, there's this American congressman, Randy Fine, who twice said that that the US or Israel should nuke the civilians. And I'm like, you know, and hardly any Jew is literally speaking out against this. You know, imagine the famous Muslim congressman. I know there are some in the U.S. at least, is saying like, "Hey, we should nuke all Israelis," and they're also like, "Oh, why don't Muslims condemn this?" You know, and I tell you, many Muslims would condemn this, but how many Zionists and Jews condemned Randy Fine? Maybe one, two. Dave Smith, and he's not super Jewish. But it's just a few, it's a handful. I get PMs from Jewish people. It's like, thank you for doing what you're doing, right? But they don't dare to say publicly. So, but anyways, it's these voices, these Jewish voices that are available everywhere, right? That are in the White House, that are like Ben Shapiro, Mark Levine. It's really super scary what they've been saying the last 2 years. So they speak and I hear the devil speak. What they are saying doesn't make any sense, just like full of hate and Jewish supremacy. So I was, in the beginning, I was quiet about this conflict because I was like, okay, you have like, you know, Hamas that I totally dislike, and then you have the Zionists that I dislike. Let them do, you know, let them fight, right? Keep the civilians out of it, you know, get the hostages and prisoners of wars out. By the way, you know, the Israelis call someone hostage who has been kidnapped from a tank. You know, they're the only country in the world that manages to call prisoners of war. If you kidnap a soldier from a tank, right, an active soldier from a tank, it's a prisoner of war, and they call them hostages. And, you know, and meanwhile, there are still 1,500 Palestinian hostages, and the Knesset, I think yesterday, was trying to pass a law to execute all of them. Imagine, like, this the other way around. They would nuke that place. But why can Zionists do whatever they want? And they get away with this. And if you are critical to Zionism and you're anti-Zionist, they call you a Jew hater. I'm like, okay, if this makes me a Jew hater, I'm a proud Jew hater, right? Because I'm like, if I'm against injustice and this makes me a Jew hater, or this gives me the label, I proudly wear the label. That makes you an anti-Semite, and it makes you a person, a persona non grata. So that's what I am. So, I mean, like, you invite me to your show. Nobody else does, believe me. So I have another one today, but that's like with a Muslim person. So they like to talk to me. Irrational voice who sees the problem on both sides, which I do. But of course, I see the problem on one side much more right now because I woke up. But anyways, I'm not like pro the other side, right? I'm against everything. It's like, literally, I'm hating everything. But nobody else would like talk to me. It's because, you know, people are, it's just like with American football or soccer, or like the real football, by the way, don't call it soccer. You know, people choose teams. When you watch a match, you know, people are like, oh, there is like Chelsea London versus Arsenal, and like, you know, both can suck my dick. I don't care. You know, there's a big owner behind it, and that owner is like literally, you know, using the sports in order to get, you know. But anyways, people are cheering. They're like, oh, I'm for Arsenal, I'm for Chelsea. And you could ask a whole room of 100 people, and maybe one or two say, like, I don't care. And it's the same here as well. It's like they expect you to take sides, but I don't take sides, right? I mean, like, I prefer a side over the other side after what I observed, right? But in the beginning of the conflict, I was like, oh, I don't care. And then I see what's happening, and like, okay, wow, this one side's really fucked up. And then I say, this is really fucked up. And I see, like, look, all the politicians, and especially in the United States, but also in Europe, look what they're saying. It's disgusting. They're justifying genocide. It's like, oh, nothing is happening there. Israel is the most immoral army in the world, you know, and there are videos out there of them doing the worst things. And then they actually accuse Palestinians, oh, you've like beheaded 12 babies. You put them into ovens. There's no single evidence. It was a lie. So, you know, if a war starts and it's based on many lies, Hannibal directive, we can start there. We can start with like that the Israeli army was like holding back, and you know, we can continue with these beheaded babies and the burnt babies and with the fake pictures of all the blood in the kibbutzim that was paint. So it was all mainly based on lies. So why would I trust these people who tend to lie? I mean, like, it's not just like they lied there. They're lying throughout the last 2 or 3 years. And that has been a stereotype in Europe in the last hundreds of years. And I, you know, I was like, why? When I was a youngster, I was like, why do they do this to these people? Why? Why did Martin Luther, you know, write this book about the Jews and the lies? It's like, you know, and then I'm watching what's happening right now. It's just like lies, lies, lies. And then I'm like, okay, maybe they, I mean, like, I read the book. I was going through the book. It's in German, right? I can understand. I was like, okay, sometimes it's like, he was a bit hardcore at one point, right? But I mean, like, anyways, there's still there's still some truth in what he was saying. So the question is, why are they lying about this? Why can't they be honest about this? Right? I mean, like, they're obviously the only democracy in the Middle East. They're the most moral army. They're God's chosen people. Why do they lie all the time? So this opened my eyes a bit. And, you know, and then I see yesterday Ben Shapiro talking. I'm like, what the fuck? You know,
yeah,
you freak out.
He's whole spat now with Tucker.
Yeah, they all are. Laura Loomer, Mark Levine, Ben Shapiro, all of them. All of them are anti-Tucker. All of them. There's not a single
one who's
not.
The whole American establishment now is going after Tucker.
The Zionist and Jewish establishment. Christian Zionists.
Yes, but I mean, it drives American politics.
Yeah, of course it does. Because AIPAC is controlling American politics. Literally everybody in Congress, 2/3 of Congress, are Israel controlled, right? So of course they get wild. But like that, all these you know, these Ben Shapiros, these Barstool presidents, you know, there are so many players. There's so many powerful Zionist Jews in America, and they all go after Tucker. And what did he do? He interviewed Nick Fuentes. I don't like Nick Fuentes at all. I think what he is saying is sometimes close to disgusting. He says, like, we need a Christian theocracy in the United States. He says disgusting things about women. And I mean, like, I'm an anti-feminist, but like what he's saying is like a different level, right? And I was in a group chat with him. I've never interacted with such a narcissist person. So we were discussing stuff, and he was making arguments. I was making arguments. Others were making arguments. He was like, "Who are you even? You're like an unimportant person. Shut up." Stuff like this. And I was like, "Wow. This is wild." I was like, you know what I did during COVID? Exposed. He's like, I don't fucking care. You're a nobody. I'm like, wow, this guy has problems, right? So, yeah. And when I asked him about his relationship to Ellie Alexander, who's a groomer, who's a pedophile, and they're good friends, right? Yeah, he blocked me. But okay, he can do whatever he wants. And I think that Tucker Carlson interviewed him is good. I mean, like, you should talk to everybody. You should even talk to Nick Fuentes. It's fine, you know? And I totally defend the right of Nick Fuentes to not be canceled, speak freely. So he should be allowed to do so, right? I mean, like, we all have this right of freedom of expression. He has as well. And he shouldn't be canceled for having a different opinion. It's not my opinion, but I totally support his right of having an opinion. And Tucker Carlson talked to him. And yeah, he should have been more critical now and then. But I mean, like, Tucker can also make his own decisions how critical he is and what he's asking or not, right? I mean, like, if you look at CNN and other media, they're way more propaganda than an interview of Tucker Carlson with Nick Fuentes or Vladimir Putin or I don't know who. So they're now trying to cancel him. He talked to because he talked to someone they don't like. That's super insane. And they're all doing this together. They're all doing this together. It's not like there's one of these voices of these Jewish Zionist voices like, hey, guys, calm down a bit. No, they're all in it. All of them. I don't see any exception. So that's the crazy thing. So I'm wondering why. Maybe you have an idea why. Why? Is it a cult? Is it like, you know, Scientology, if you speak out against it, you're out? What is it? I have no answer to this.
Yeah, it's something that I also wonder. It's kind of like the climate change thing. In many ways, people buy into it. It's indoctrination, propaganda. But I think there's something deeper with the whole Zionist thing. I think it comes down to basically a Sunday school belief in the chosen people, the chosen land. That's why you have like 70 million Americans, you know, who blindly stand with Israel. I mean, I've been asking this question for about a year and a half now to various Christians who, you know, state that they stand with Israel. And so my question is along the lines of, well, are you a Jew? No. Are you an Israeli citizen? No. Okay, so then why do you stand with Israel? And they don't want to say it's because they were taught that it's the chosen people or chosen land. They don't want to say it. So they make all sorts of other excuses, or they just get angry. And I think it comes down to that sort of deep-rooted indoctrination. That's what I think.
But I mean, like, if you're a Christian, right? I'm an agnostic Christian, so it's weird, actually. I live by Christian values.
So so basically, you're not sure if you're a Christian.
People attack me with this, but I live by Christian values, and I think there's God. But I don't think that the Bible is the word of God. So many people hate me for that, but I mean, like, there's... the bunny isn't a ruminant, right? I mean, like, there's so many things in the Bible that are contradictory to each other. So if it was the word of God, it would be more consistent. So that's just my private opinion, but I get along with Christians very well. I love Christian values and all of this. So I pretty much align with Christianity. I'm a Roman Catholic, don't like the Pope, but I mean, like, you know, I'm a critical thinker. So it's very difficult to be a super critical thinker and go 100% in line and say, like, I believe everything this book says. Anyways, what I didn't understand is why Christian Zionists can even believe that they are God chosen people, which in contrary would mean that Christians are not God chosen people. So you would actually kind of define yourself as a subhuman. Right? Because there are like the God chosen people, and then we are below this. So this is like, you know, this is something that doesn't make any sense to me. And that's why I oppose that they even call them. That means they call themselves God chosen people. Ben Shapiro said, we are God chosen people. Mark Levine says it. Randy Fine says it. They all say it. It's like, we are God chosen people. Who are you?
It's right? Complete nonsense.
It's totally nonsense. Why should God chose these people? These, right? That they're the only religion that are trying to trick God every single day. Where there is oof, you know what they do.
It's not even biblical, dude. I mean, if you were to try and come at this from a biblical argument, there is no supporting biblical argument either.
No, so, Scofield Bible, they were like, okay, but that's a different discussion. But like, I mean, what they're doing is they put on fishing rods, fishing lines around Manhattan and say, this is an Ezov, it's a imaginary wall so we can carry stuff during Shabbat. Like, they're trying to trick God the whole time. It's like, I don't know, but this would get me into anti-Judaism, and I don't want to go there, because, I mean, like, I think people should believe whatever they want to believe. If they want to believe this, go ahead, right? But don't push it on us. Don't say, like, oh, we are God chosen people, you are less, you're nothing. Don't treat us like this, you know? Don't treat others like this. Don't treat Palestinian children and women like this, you know? Don't justify atrocities. And I just want humanity to win, just like during COVID, just like be human, be good to each other, you know? You can criticize Hamas just like you criticize Zionists. And I think you should, by the way. If there's Hamas like killing people for being homosexuals, like, you know, shut the fuck up, you know, they have no right to live as well. But I mean, like, we are talking here about like literally hundreds of thousands of civilians that have been injured and killed. And they're still justifying this. And I think people who justify these crimes are evil, are totally evil, and should be, you know, we should be able to call them out without being called labels and without being getting canceled.
Just quickly, you aren't working as a scientist anymore, are you?
How? Nobody would ever take me. There is no chance. Nobody wants to take an anti-Semitic anti-vaxxer. I mean, at least that's what they call me, right? So no institution would ever take me. So, I can't work as a scientist anymore. Well, I would love to, but I'm now doing my own observations in the world, which is like much better science. So I run my own experiments here with tomatoes. I observe things and I draw my private conclusions. And this is like much more honest than working for an institution that is actually telling you what you have to believe and what you have to write.
But I mean, you are doing many things that we have been suggesting people do over the last few years.
Yeah. Be self-sufficient. Be self-sufficient. Decouple yourself from the government. Because the government is no good, right? I'm not just talking about taxes. I'm talking about, but I have the beat already for 10 years, so I had this way before. I'm literally trying to, to be more independent, because this is just the start. I mean, like, wait until the digital IDs and the government-backed digital currencies are rolling out. That's when the real shit starts, when they can just shut you down or shut your account down or whatever. It's already starting, right? Mm. And wait until they control all the social media. I mean, like, now TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, but TikTok was quite free. So people were allowed to say stuff against Israel. And now it's owned by American Jews because Trump put so much pressure on them. And they're censoring all criticism against Israel. Them again, you know, and X is kind of free still, but still, you know, I get all the propaganda in my timeline, so it's also kind of controlled by, or at least not totally controlled, but there's still some influence, and all the other social media we all know who's owning it, and let's not talk about the mainstream media. So it's an info war. It's literally Jewish Zionists and also Christian Zionists against the truth, against us, against free speech, against everything we stand for. And let's see where it's going. But I mean, like, what I have quite hope in this. Unfortunately, I need to have hope on the leftists as well, because the leftists are opposing this very rigidly. And I hate to say this, but people are waking up. You know, once you woke up to reality, it's very hard to go back asleep. And more people are waking up. I've never seen an awakening like this happening. I think maybe that never happened in history. During COVID, many people woke up. And those who didn't wake up during COVID now wake up with Israel. Like, many leftists wake up. So you had a great awakening on the right and now on the left. And this could be in our favor or in the favor of humanity, because I don't want to be a front man politician, because I think they're all corrupt. So I just want people to be free, right? And that's actually the war. It's us. It's either freedom or it's slavery. It's literally what George Orwell wrote in 1984, just like with different topics. And that's what we're up against.
Simon, how can my audience follow you?
If they want to follow me, they just go on X and they put my name. There are many fake accounts, but I mean, if I put my name into the search engine there at the top, you see one with a yellow dot next to it. It's me. And yeah, that's how they can follow me. And I should get more active on Telegram too. Telegram is just like my surname. But that's about it. I don't have too much time for all the social media. I try to be active throughout the day, but I mean, like, I'm working outside a lot. I'm trying to, you know, be 100% self-sufficient. And that's taking like 10 hours of my day. And the rest, I'm trying to be a bit active. Well, that's how they can follow me. How can they follow you, Jerm? That's even more important. You need more followers.
They can go to your social media and you can direct them to me.
I'll do that. That's a good one.
Simon Goddag, as always, my friend, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thank you.